What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show here. Hang on a second. It is Thursday, August. Let me get back up here to the top here. August 10th. Sure happy it's Thursday. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone when you call on in. And unfortunately, our guest who was scheduled for today, Leon Siu, something came up. He is, after all, the foreign minister of the Kingdom of Hawaii, and he had to fly on over to Kauai. And he said we could still do the interview over the cell phone, but it was going to be very tight. And I said, look, for the sake of convenience, we're just going to push it into next week. But we are going to get him on the show. We just have to work within his schedule. I mean, he's the equivalent of a Secretary of State. And so we have to make some allowances on that one here. All right, so we're going to be able to take a lot more phone calls than normally would be the case here. And getting into the news here, of course, North Korea is talking about firing these missiles toward Guam. And it's really important because when it was originally being reported in the corporate media, they made it sound like North Korea announced they were going to actually strike Guam itself. We're coming to attack Guam. We're going to attack Anderson Air Force Base. And I had a real hard time believing that. But we actually checked with the English language version of the North Korean media, and what we found out is they're not threatening an attack. And this is an important thing to keep in your mind. They are not threatening an attack. They are announcing ahead of time another test. And they're going to be firing some missiles into the ocean down around Guam. But they're going to be in international waters, and they're announcing the test ahead of time, which is what you're supposed to do with a test. So that makes a lot of sense. Unfortunately, we have everybody's out there saying, oh, this is an escalation. It's a provocation. They're going to attack Guam because that's where we have the bombers that we're going to attack them with. It is important to understand the reason that North Korea announced ahead of time, it's not an attack. It's a test. Now, the fact that they're sending it down near Guam is, of course, a message to just not be flying their U.S. planes along their border anymore. They're getting sick and tired of all this saber rattling here. And, of course, from the U.S. side is, yes, we're ready to go here right now. And apparently the U.S. Pacific Air Force has announced to Trump and the world of, we're ready to fight tonight. We're ready to go. We're ready to bomb. And, yes, it is true. The U.S. can bomb North Korea right now. They can send in the missiles right now. But the reality is, for all the bellicosity coming on out from the war hawks, and even CNN is admitting this, to actually mount a physical invasion of North Korea is going to require months of preparation. Because this North Korea thing kind of sprang up rather rapidly, and they haven't even begun to evacuate all of the thousands of U.S. civilians, get them out of the area. And it's going to take a large number of ships and troops to try and invade North Korea. Go back and look at the scale of the first part of the still ongoing, technically still continuing war against North Korea, which, by the way, the United States did not win that yesterday. But the U.S. is already out there saying that, they're going to use those bombers down on Guam, the B-1 Lancers and the B-2 Spirits, for a preemptive strike on North Korea. So it's the U.S. saying, we're coming to attack you, while North Korea is saying, stay cool, we've got another test that's coming basically your way. Now, South Korea has called an urgent security meeting after the North's newest threat, but again, it's not a threat, it's an announcement. And they may be making this announcement in response to the near miss from the last test, where supposedly their rocket came down, and then about 10 minutes later, another passenger jet sort of kind of went through near the same area. I mean, it's a wide miss, 10 minutes and miles. It's not like when the U.S. Navy accidentally shot down TWA-800 near Long Island. that North Korea may simply be saying, we're going to be testing these long-range rockets, we're going to aim them at this spot in the ocean near Guam, and just make the appropriate changes to the flight paths. But everyone's trying to treat this, that North Korea is the bad guy here again. And SecDef Mattis is out there saying, you will lose. Okay, well, they haven't lost yet. You need to keep that in mind. This is a restart on an ongoing war that never ended before, and the United States did not win that war. So you got to keep that in mind. Now, a lot of people are starting to say that the problem isn't North Korea. It is the United States. And chairman of the German Socialist Party, Martin Schulz, who, by the way, is starting to pull ahead of Merkel in the polls, is saying it's Donald Trump's rhetoric that's fanning this up, that it's dangerous. And yes, Kim Jong-un could show a little bit more restraint, but we know the U.S. is trying to get into more and more wars so they'll have an excuse when the economy falls apart. And it does appear that China is changing their tune on North Korea. They were going to be on board with all those sanctions. Now they've gone around the other side. They've done a complete pivot, and China is now warning the United States to back off and go back to the negotiating table or risk a disaster. And it's not necessarily a direct military threat from China, but it is a recognition, and even the Pentagon is saying the same thing. A new ground war in North Korea is going to cost hundreds of thousands of American lives. Meanwhile, Americans, there's a revival of the bomb shelter business. Now, before the Cold War, in the middle of America, they called them storm cellars, tornado cellars. Now they're bomb shelters. And then after the Cold War ended, they were turned into wine cellars. And now they're being turned back into bomb shelters. And it's easy to do in some parts of the country. It's difficult here in Hawaii. There's a thin layer of topsoil that you can move around for roads and driveways and foundations. But under that is hardened lava. It is the consistency of poured concrete. And it makes digging anything of substance very expensive. But the business is on here. CNN is all of a sudden offering Hawaiians how to survive on a nuclear attack. And basically what they're saying is that the North Korean nukes are very small. If Hawaii gets hit by a North Korean nuke, not all that many people are going to die instantly. It's an acceptable amount of losses, but you do have to be prepared to deal with the radioactive aftermath. And I'm wondering why CNN is deciding it's going to be a concern here in Hawaii when all the rhetoric is focusing on Guam's here. But I think the article that came out of the Ron Paul Institute really says it best. Only morons are believing what the U.S. government says about North Korea, and that is absolutely true. All right, we're going to take a phone call. First of all, we're going to do a shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are rejoining our network. Then we're going to go to the phones. Jerry in Chicago, aloha. What's on your mind today?
Aloha, Michael. Thanks for taking my call. You mentioned something yesterday, I believe it was in the third hour, about the police and shooting dogs, and a good majority of them are good.
Yeah, I did make that point.
But every one of them in the Fraternal Order of Police Association knows of a bad cop.
Yes.
And they will not turn them in. It's sort of like the Freemasonry movement where Freemasons can do whatever they want, even commit murder, and it's up to the individual to decide whether he wants to turn somebody else in for that reason, you know?
Well, you know, again, I think there's an undue amount of focus put on the Freemasons. I think they're being scapegoated for a lot of things that are actually being done by other people. And the reason I say that is we used to have a neighbor who was the master of the local lodge. And we got to go down there for a lot of events. And at one point, he even invited me to become a Mason. And I had to decline because in order to become a Mason, you have to profess a belief in a divine architect of the universe. And as I am an atheist, I could not in good conscience do that. And I said, I would love to be a Mason, but I'm not going to dishonor you by lying to get on in. And so that was kind of the end of that. But frankly, I wasn't all that impressed. It seemed to be an elderly gentleman's dinner club and not a whole heck of a lot more than that. And yes, they like their legends and their myths and their secret handshakes, but they're hardly alone in that. You've got the Oddfellows, you've got the Elks, the Knights of Pythias, and there's a lot of these secret fraternal organizations that have strange hats and strange rituals. And I guess in an era before movies and other such entertainments, it was just a way for guys to get together and play act and have fun. But I don't think that they're... And yes, it's a networking organization. And it allows people who have power and influence to network. But I think they're unduly propagandized against in order to shift onto them blame for things that are being done by some of the other secretive organizations we should be paying attention to, like the Bilderbergers and the... what's the one in California? Council on Foreign Relations and the Bohemian Grove and those people.
Well, I only use Freemasonry as an example, but I have quite a few friends that are cops. Two of them that are retired. I'm sorry, three. And I had put this question to every one of them. I says, you know, you may have been a good cop for your 25-year stint. I says, but you did know of bad cops, but you never turned in those bad cops. Now, how do you feel about that? And they would just, you could see in their body posture, and cops are taught to read body posture. And, you know, if you're a little bit pissed off about what they're talking about and everything else like that, they nail you on this stuff. And I could see this in their faces. I says, man, you lost all composure there. You can't answer the question. You know you got bad cops within your force and everything else like that, but you can't turn them in because you got that fraternal organization that you're all part of a membership of. You'll be castrated.
Well, you know, there's a lot of groups that have that same kind of situation of we must protect our own. It's actually part of, for example, the Jewish faith, that you will not criticize a fellow Jew and you will not, you know, report them for anything bad that they do. In fact, that's the whole reason the Anti-Defamation League was formed, was to protect Jews from negative publicity regardless of what they did. It was formed in response to this murder case where this... Jewish business owner had murdered one of his employees, was found guilty, and then the Jewish governor of the state pardoned him, and it just was a huge, huge uproar, and the Anti-Defamation League was formed after that to exert pressure on the media and so forth in order to shield Jews from any negative criticism, regardless of what they were actually doing. So it's hardly unique to the police force.
Okay, well, like I say, I know that every cop knows of a bad cop. Whether they're a good cop or a bad cop, they know of a bad cop, and they won't say a word about
it. No argument there. No argument there about that. Well, they're afraid of retaliation. I mean, look what happened with Serpico when he was trying to deal with the corrupt cops that he knew, and they wound up shooting him in the face. Again, I had a distant family relation who used to be a Los Angeles County sheriff. Unfortunately, he suffered a job-related accident, and he's now in another line of work. But while he was a sheriff, he didn't hide the fact. He was just waiting for the first opportunity he could legally shoot a black man. And it was just scary that this guy was out on the streets of Los Angeles with a gun and a badge, with this attitude.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry to hear that because, you know, all men are created equal. I don't care about the color of their skin or their religion or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tidbit I wanted to drop in. I wanted to call you yesterday, but I was eating dinner when you got into that subject, so I didn't want to call you with a mouthful. But I appreciate
you taking my call. I've heard a few stories from our neighbor who's with the HPD. And overall, I think we have a cooler, calmer, more aloha police force than you see on the mainland, but there have been increasing incidents. There was an incident, I think, about 6 months ago where there was a wounded dolphin on the beach, and one of the traditional ethnic Hawaiians was praying over it. Didn't touch it. It's a huge fine if you touch a marine mammal, even to help it. And there was a cop came up, and challenged him. And however it got out of control, the cop wound up shooting the Hawaiian, who was just there to pray that this dolphin was going to get better. So we do have one or two bad ones.
And then probably shot the dolphin.
Not to the best of my knowledge. That would have been a $25,000 fine. He would have really been in trouble then.
Oh, yeah, then you get in trouble. But, hey, man, thanks a lot for taking my call. Mike, keep up the good work. Thank you.
All right, I will, Jerry. Thanks an awful lot. Yeah, I mean, you know, shot the Hawaiian guy. I'm not going to shoot the dolphin. Don't want to get into real trouble here. All righty, getting on to the domestic political front here. A federal judge has ordered a new search for Hillary Clinton emails related to Benghazi, including a search of the email accounts of Hillary Clinton aides at the State Department. The judge ruled the State Department hadn't done enough to try and track down emails sent pertaining to the Benghazi attack in 2012. U.S. District Court Judge Amit Mehta has ordered the department to conduct a search of the accounts for three top aides, Huma Abedin, Cheryl Mills, and Jake Sullivan. And Sullivan is the one where you've got the email from Hillary telling him to strip the classified markings off a document and send by non-secure means. That's a felony violation, Title 18, and it clearly shows intent. Now, I have a question here. We keep hearing that somehow all these emails were backed up on the cloud and the FBI already has them. Is the FBI sitting on them? Are they trying to bury them? And here's the real question. We've been told for years and years and years the NSA is collecting all the emails sent anywhere in this country. Don't they have Hillary Clinton's Benghazi emails? Are they holding them so they can blackmail Hillary in the future? Is that what the FBI is doing? It shouldn't be that hard to find these emails, given what we are told about the monitoring of our email systems. Now, the Justice Department has released Special Counsel Robert Mueller's finances, and it again confirms the fact he is not unbiased, he is not objective. Mueller's law firm has had clients like Facebook, whose CEO Mark Zuckerberg is no fan of President Trump, and is already talking about running for the presidency himself. And Mueller was also paid handsomely for a speech at Mexican bank Banamex. So it's all those speaking fees again. He's not objective. And I'm glad that the Assistant Attorney General for the United States is yanking him in and saying, you do not go outside Russian interference in the election without our express permission. Now then, we have another dead body. Now, this one doesn't go back to Hillary Clinton and the Bushes, but it's still kind of embarrassing. And apparently at the West Hollywood home of a high-profile Democratic Party donor and activist, Ed Buck, there was this gay male prostitute who died of a meth overdose in this Democratic Party donor's home. And the story is really kind of weird. Apparently this escort, Gamel Moore, they're saying the overdose was accidental, but apparently some of the other individuals who have been catering to the appetites of this Democratic Party donor is saying that for some reason he got off watching young blacks get high on meth, and he would encourage them to take more and more and more. And while he was watching these blacks go wacko on the meth, he would do his own thing. You fill in the blanks there. And it sort of reminds you that these people at the top levels of so-called society and politics and power, they can get really, really weird. And I saw a little bit of that myself when I worked in Hollywood here. We're going to take a break for commercials. And when we come on back, we got more news from the world of election fraud. We'll be right back. We're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And every time any organization anywhere in the United States starts to take a look at this issue of election fraud or irregularities, if you're trying to be politically correct, they're finding it. And apparently the Government Accountability Institute has gone on out. And what they're looking at is this phenomenon of people who, since the last election, they've relocated to the state next door to get closer to work or something like that. And then when the election shows up, they vote in their new state of residence, and then they'll just drive back across the border into their old state where they are still registered, because nobody's checking to see if they left. Nobody's cleaning up their voter rolls, and then they'll vote again. And apparently, looking at the 2016 election, there were thousands of votes of people who were registered in two states and voted in two states overwhelmingly for Hillary Clinton. They keep finding this everywhere they go. All right, we're going to take a phone call here. Steve in Massachusetts, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I want to talk about the fiat money. And
yes.
Now, with the sanctions against Russia, it seems like it's going to drive Russia to get away from the dollar even more, right?
It's already happening.
It's already happening. And, you know, if you have trade wars with China, they're going to do the same thing. So it looks like very soon we might have an economic reset. And
I would say so. And by the way, have you seen the stock market today? Now, they're putting all the blame on Donald Trump's fire and fury comment. But past history has been that when we're getting ready for a war, for some reason the stock market will go up. But as of the last time I checked, I mean, the Dow is down something like 200, over 200. And what we may be seeing here is the beginning of the bubble bursting.
Yeah. Now, do you think everything's planned? Now, the reason why I say that...
Not very well.
Because if you look at the Economist magazine, which is half run by the Rothschild, back in 1988, they had a magazine saying, get ready for a new currency, new world currency. And it had a phoenix rising from burning fiat money. And it had a phoenix with a medallion that said 2018, signaling that it's going to be 2018, there's going to be a new fiat, new currency that's going to arise. And I'm just wondering, is everything just planned out?
Well, they're not. It's not planned out very well, and I'm going to go back to the sanctions as a good example, because the U.S. is out there flinging sanctions all over the place, and it would be a good strategy if the world were still totally dependent on the U.S. dollar and had to go through the U.S. dollar for cross-trade and banking, but that world is gone. Already about half the world has turned away, and it would also work if other nations would join the United States in the sanctions, and that just stopped. The European Union has told the United States that they're absolutely not going along with these sanctions. So it wasn't planned out very carefully. Now, the globalists, the New World Order people, have been talking about a single fiat currency for the planet ever since they started talking about a one-world government and a New World Order back there when George Herbert Walker Bush was president. They were talking about this, the New World Order. And but again, it's just going to be another private central bank. And that currency, the globo, is going to be loaned into circulation at interest to make us all debt slaves until humans go extinct. That's their plan.
Yeah, do you think they're going to get away from the fiat money and go to the cryptos? I already see Goldman Sachs buying one of the cryptos. And
Wait a minute. Cryptocurrencies are fiat currencies. There's no value to them.
There's no value to fiat money either, but I think it's their way of shifting, knowing that the fiat money is going to be destroyed, and there's their way of shifting towards something new, electronic, easier.
Well, no. First of all, a lot of our current fiat currency moves by electronics anyway, the little plastic cards and the rest of it. What they want is a system in which you're not allowed to have any of your money in your pocket. The new model they're trying to that they will force on the New World Order is the banks own all the money, and any transactions you're doing with their money remain in their computers. And it makes it impossible for you to go to the bank and say, I want my savings account in my hand. That's the plan behind that. Steve, we got to let you go.
The same, then.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's why we can't let it happen. Steve, we're going to let you go. Take a break for commercials. Back with another phone call after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Kelor Max's Nutramedical Heavy Metal Detox formula includes DMSA, dimercaptosuccinic acid, EDTA, ethylene diamine tetraacetic acid, cilantro, chlorella, garlic in a special form that researchers have benefited from removing heavy metals, and acetylcysteine and alpha-lipoic acid. This oral formula is the best oral formula available in the world for removing heavy metals safely from the body. It also has a special Shilajit addition of trace elements from the Himalayan mountains and humic fulvic acid to replace trace minerals drawn out by the Kelor Max. Kelor Max is the best oral chelation agent available in the world, and you can obtain it at Nutri, N-U-T-R-I, medical.com, 888-212-8871, that's Nutri, N-U-T-R-I, medical.com, or 888-212-8871.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And before I take these phone calls here, a couple of things are breaking. Apparently, Trump is getting ready to come on out and make another speech about North Korea. And again, the Dow closed 204 down. So something may be getting ready to break there. Earlier in the show, we reported on how this judge ordered a new search into Hillary Clinton's Benghazi emails. Judge Andrew Napolitano is now reporting that the State Department and the Department of Justice are blocking access to the emails. They're refusing to go along with this judge's order. And apparently more information about Robert Mueller is starting to surface. Apparently when he was acting as attorney general, he was blocking and shutting down every single investigation into anything connected with the Clinton Foundation, including the Uranium One deal. Mueller was closing all these criminal investigations without any recommendation for any kind of an indictment or a charge. The entire city is just woefully corrupt. All right, the phone lines are really loading up. Let's get some of the calls out of the way. Alan in California, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. To kind of pick up where you just left off on all the corruption, I came across a really, really good video that you might want to put on your website.
Okay.
It shows clearly the corruption. This is about a 6 week, I believe. This happened 6 weeks ago when Trey Gowdy was interviewing Jay Johnson, the old Homeland Security of Obama.
Yes.
Talking to him about Russia inclusion and all that. Well, anyway, right behind Trey Gowdy in the line of sight of Jay Johnson is the Juan brother. And he's looking at Jay Johnson the whole time, giving him the look of, like, I got the goods on you, buddy. And as Trey Gowdy's asking him questions, he's nodding his head up and down and sideways. And every time he nods his head up and down, Jay Johnson answers yes. And then if you side to side, he says no. I mean, he's guiding him the whole way what to say and what not to say. I mean, it's incredible that an IT guy can be coaching a ex-head of Homeland Security on what to say, what not to say. I mean,
well, at this point, it's obvious the IT position was merely a cover, and the Juan brothers were some kind of an intelligence operating unit. I mean, that's the reason they got their access to the House computer networks cut. They were caught breaking into these computers of representatives and copying off information. And he was apparently doing a lot of the same sort of stuff for Debbie Wasserman Schultz now. And again, it's just, there is so much corruption in Washington, D.C., they can't keep it hidden any longer. It's starting to just overflow and come through the cracks, and everybody's smelling it now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's something that your listeners might want to see, because it's just totally obvious he's totally being threatened. And I mean,
well, if you could send me the URL to that video, yeah, I'll put it on up there. Now, I know that the official response is, oh, no, that's not one of the Juan brothers. Obviously, an IT worker wouldn't, you know, have the pull to be sitting sit in the gallery or sit in the staffer's area. But, yeah, it does look like he did, that he's got the blackmail goods on everybody there.
Man, these guys are all dirty, it looks like. Everybody. It's just incredible.
Yeah, they are. They are.
But, okay, yeah, I'll send that out to your... What's your email yet?
WRH at whatreallyhappened.com. There's a link at the top of the website that'll get you set up.
Okay, I'll get that out to you. Thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks. We're going to switch over to Jerry in Wyoming. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. I've heard you talk a lot in the past about when the whole system comes down and what you constitute. We want to make sure it's not done on a central bank system like the one we have now, and not a fiat currency. Now, you know, I kept thinking, you know, these central bankers aren't going to let this go that easy. I mean, they got plans to what's going to happen when this whole thing happens. And
okay, I think we just lost our connection here. Yeah, you're absolutely right. The owners of these private central banks, it's a family business. They've been running it for 300 years, and it has made these families the wealthiest people on earth. They're so wealthy they can stay off those lists about the world's richest people. They don't want to be on there, because when you see a Bill Gates up there, you know, as the world's richest man, you know what he did to get the money. You see somebody... a Warburg or a Rothschild, and they've got, you know, this huge amount of money. You say, what did they do to get this money? And then they realize, well, they just ran this scam called private central banking. And it is time for it to fade away into history. Some countries are trying to break free from it, and inevitably they get attacked by the other countries that are still enslaved to the private central banks. That was basically what got us into World War II. Germany got rid of their private central bank. They went to a value-based currency, and all of a sudden, boom, we got to destroy Germany. Same thing with Libya. Libya went, they closed their private central bank. They established a value-based currency. Boom, we go into Libya. The private central bankers have enslaved the entire world, and just like the slave owners in the antebellum South, they are going to be very cruel and vicious to any slaves that dare to stand up and say, I think there's a better way. That's what's going to be going on. All right, we're going to take a call from Steve in California. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, you were talking about earlier, you mentioned electronic fraud, voter fraud, election fraud.
Yes.
And it just came, something else just kind of, I just noticed how the people are so trusting in this technology of, you know, electronics, and they're giving up, you know, normal ways of doing things to trust this technology. And just to give you a little example, I'm kind of a big tennis fan, so I've been watching a lot of tennis. And USTA has an event in Montreal, Canada now called the Rogers Cup. And
yes.
I noticed that they've ditched the old tossing of the coin at the beginning of the match to see what side, who serves first and who picks the side. They aborted that whole policy of using the coin toss and gone to electronic coin toss, which is really interesting because if it's really important enough to do the act itself of a coin toss, then it must have some kind of advantage in some way. Maybe it's psychological mostly. I don't know. Maybe there's a benefit in some way. Who scores first, whatever, in maybe in football or something like that. But if there's, you know, the policy of doing a coin toss is now being thrown aside and we're going to do electronic, well, again, the system, we know the electronic system of voting is hackable. And if it can benefit somebody to win a coin toss in some way, then this system could be tapped into and changed. I just think it's
no
crazy
question.
How we're
I agree with you. What's wrong with a coin toss? And granted, yes, there are ways to rig a coin toss.
Right.
They're very subtle and they're not reliable. But the idea of computerizing everything—that's when you're crossing the line from utility to decadence. And you say, oh, everything's got to be computerized. And some things, having a computer on them is going to be really cool. Others you don't need. Coin toss is a good example. Coffee maker's another. I stopped using coffee makers with built-in programmable this and that a couple of years ago, and I've got just your basic coffee press, and I'm quite happy with it. So, yeah, that it opens up the possibility of fraud. And again, when you come to these elections, I know we've all been propagandized, well, computers never make mistakes. Yeah, they do, because programmers make mistakes. And worse, computers can be programmed to lie to you. And we know that there's a huge amount of fraud with those electronic voting machines. And yeah, if I were a tennis player, I would say I would be a lot more comfortable with a good old-fashioned coin toss than this device, which, for all we know, is already preset hand the advantage one way.
Yeah, I just thought I'd let you know that. It was the first time I've ever seen it, and it's probably going to be a regular thing now in tennis, maybe other sports. But I just think we're going in a very bad direction of you're inviting fraud. You're inviting fraud.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
Hey, thank you, Michael.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Doing all right.
George Carlin said it best. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You
yes,
ain't in
he
the
did.
Big club, and they're just there to push the buttons and pull the levers, and you are owned by your masters. And he said it. That, I'll tell you, man, that statement says it all when you watch him on YouTube. Like, you know, like, I
yes.
mean, it's just it's creepy. Hey, Mike, I wanted to talk about India and China, the first war they had in, started in the 50s, and, India got spanked pretty bad. But what do you think about Britain? Even though India is kind of independent, what do you think Britain's involvement in is antagonizing the Indians to start something with the Chinese? Maybe because of the Belt and the Road. I know they have some water right type of thing going on with water, but this Belt and the Road, India didn't join that. And a lot
no,
of people
India
in
is
India,
building their own. That's the problem. India is building their own, and they're trying to get through the Himalayas to get this their version of the belt heading into Europe. And unfortunately, the way they had to go does, in fact, cross into Chinese territory. It's a very, very tiny amount, but the reason it's a big stink is that China is obviously seeing this Indian trade route as a major threat, eroding the profits they plan on making from having a monopoly on this new Silk Road. And that's what this is really all about. And it does look like it's going to come to blows. China is already telling people, civilians, non-combatants living near the border in that area, get the heck out now.
If India tries again, the Chinese will crush them. I mean, India is more prepared now than in the past, but the Chinese will just crush them. Like, it's like, just no, to do this again, you know, and then the first one, was about a road too. You know, like, it's just amazing how, you know, history doesn't repeat itself, but it sure does rhyme, doesn't it? You know, it's like how things come back around, you know.
Couple of things to keep in mind. Okay, first of all, India isn't now a nuclear power, and India has a huge population problem. And they would actually probably welcome a situation where they can take their surplus population, put them in uniform, and just send them into China. And China has to be taking that reality into account for their calculations, that a war with India, yeah, China might win, but the cost of victory might be a serious problem. I remember that back, I think it was during the Napoleonic Wars, where there was one of Napoleon's generals won a battle, but at huge, huge cost. And he wrote back to Napoleon and he said, one more victory like this and our cause is lost.
Is India's own version of, like, going their own way, is the U.S. involved in that and Japan and stuff, I think, right?
I'm not sure to what extent, but obviously right now United States would be very happy to see the Chinese and Russian monopoly on a new land-based trade route broken. And so I would imagine that one of the reasons India is willing to risk so much to complete this is they've already received indications from European and American companies that they would prefer doing business over this route than the one coming from China and Russia. The problem is, geographically, this route does not have the reach of China's belt in terms of getting to the Far East. But in terms of trade for Indian products, it certainly would have a tremendous advantage.
Yeah, because I looked and I saw, like, they even have, I mean, it goes into Europe, the Silk Road, Belt and the Road. I mean, that's a far-reaching, and to Iran, and it's just amazing how quick. I think they said China used more concrete in 3 years than we use in like a 100, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Something crazy.
I mean, China's done some amazing engineering, like the Three Gorges Dam, and they certainly have the cement to work with over there. But basically, they're following the original Silk Road. So it's not like they're having to map out new territory. They're basically going on in and paving the already existing trade route. And for anybody who's traveling along there, it's going to be a very interesting experience because there are all these archaeological ruins of the way stations from the original Silk Road. And they're all still there.
Yeah, I watch a lot of the documentaries on YouTube. If I can get past those commercials for those night scope Dalek robots that they want to have as police officers. That's a creepy. It looks like it's a Dalek. You know, all they have to do is put like 50 calibers on them sticking out, you know.
all you have to do is put infrared emitting LEDs all over your outfit and the Daleks won't be able to find where you are. All right, Dustin, we're going to let you go. Switch over to Kathleen in Paris. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Michael, there you are.
Yes. I have to be somewhere.
When I turn the speakers down, then I can't hear you, and I'm never sure just quite how to do that. I see you there. I'm going back to this currency subject, and I listened to a disturbing interview this morning. It's on a YouTube site called SGT.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure what that stands for. Have you heard of digitizing physical goods?
I'm not sure of the context. I mean, there are 3D scanners. They're sort of the front end for the 3D printers. If you want to make a copy of something, you can do a 3D scan of your face.
This had to do with currency. The name of the subtitle of the interview was Checkmate, the Banker's New SDR, Crypto Blockchain Will Enslave Humanity.
Yes, I have seen that many places. In fact, we have linked it to whatreallyhappened.com. Yeah, this is talking about making all currency digital only. No coins, no paper, And again, it's just another way so that all of the wealth of the nation is in the possession of the banks for them to do with as they will. And any transactions you get paid for your work. It doesn't go into your pocket. It goes into the bank. You want to buy something at the market. Well, the bank will then transfer money from your account to the supermarket's account in exchange for the product. But the idea is there is no mechanism there by which you can have the wealth that you sort of technically own by virtue of your labor in your own pocket. And again, it's a form of control, and it's to guarantee that there won't be runs on the bank. Kathleen, I'm sorry. We got to take a break for commercials. We're going to let you go. We got a bunch of other callers waiting on the line, and we will be right back.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show today. And we're going to go to the phones. Rick in Arizona, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Yo, Mark. You know, this North Korea charade looks more to me like Wall Street henpecking Trump to stopping North and South Korea from quietly and peacefully reuniting. If North Korea could launch a missile, they would launch and hit Japan, because when Japan went in there during, before World War II, they slaughtered those people without mercy.
Yes.
So, you know, this is to make it look like if we have casualties in dealing with North Korea, that those people died for a good reason, that they saved us from being nuked from North Korea. See, if North and South Korea reunite, that's bad for Wall Street, because then you have the military industrialization of the South with the military power of the North, and then they can nationalize their companies and kick out all the hedge fund managers. I think I'm on the right track here.
Well, you're on a track, and certainly it's a factor. Like I said, wars are never started for just one reason. And in this case, the two Koreas were talking about reunification the way Germany had done about 5-6 years ago. And yes, the U.S. came on in and basically got in the way and to prevent it from happening. But going into North Korea, again, it's more power projection. And there are rare earth minerals in North Korea, which the U.S. would like to gain access to break the Chinese monopoly. Certainly the CIA wants to get their hands on those opium poppies to go along with the ones they're getting out of Afghanistan. But you're absolutely right. A reunified Korea would be more resistant to outside influence by the United States. And again, look at what's going on in Germany today, where they're standing up to the United States and saying, we're not going to go along with your sanctions. We're getting ready to sanction you in retaliation. And so, the United States would like to keep all these countries broken up and at war with each other, because then they're easier to manage.
Yeah, well, just to the American people, you don't have to worry about getting nukes from North Korea. I mean, we didn't even have the ability to build an intercontinental ballistic missile. We had to use the German genius from Peenemünde, okay?
Yes.
So it's not practical.
So did the Russians.
Absolutely.
I mean,
the Russians
yes.
didn't do it. It was the German scientists that went both ways at the end of the war that gave
yes.
the Russia and the United States the power to go into space and come back down in and hit a target. And this is not capable over in Asia.
Well,
that's all I got today. Thank you, Mike.
All right, well, you're welcome, and you can hang up. Actually, the fact of the matter is that it being this far after World War II and the American and Russian space programs, many countries have developed space launch capability, usually for peaceful means. And so rocketry, once you understand those basic principles, it's not all that hard. It usually comes down to a simple matter of engineering and metallurgy. You want, obviously, for any kind of a rocket, or for that matter, an aircraft, you want it as strong as possible with as light a weight as possible. And most of the goofs that you see happening come from making it a little too light, shaving off a little too much, and not understanding the forces that are on that fuselage. All right, we're going to take a break for station identification, and we got more calls waiting on the other side.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.